today we're going to make a new friend. And this is definitely a friend that I feel like I've made this year. We're going to make a friend of a sefer. And the, Rashi, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Yaseh lecha rav uknei lecha chaver, Rashi says, what does it mean that you should buy a friend? You could say buying a friend, you know, in order to make friends, Shabbos meals, going out for Starbucks, it's not cheap. But Rashi takes it one step further and says, no, who are your friends? Who's a Jewish person's friends? Sfarim, books. So Baruch Hashem, you can see, I've got lots and lots of Sfarim friends, hopefully one or two to real life friends. But Rashi encourages us to make friends with various Sfarim, various works of Torah, in order to better acquaint us with Torah thought processes and a Torah lifestyle. And so today we're going to meet the Orchos Tzadikim, and some of us might have already met it. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of a picture of what the Orchos Tzadikim is about, and who was the Orchos Tzadikim. Orchos Tzadikim quite literally means the path of the just, although scholars suggest that when the author wrote the Sefer, the intention was not to call it Orchos Tzadikim, it actually was to call it just Sefer Hamidos, in the book of character traits. And somewhere along the way, that was, not to say corrupt, but it was adapted into something a little bit more exciting, a little bit more compelling, you know, the path of the righteous. But this Sefer is interesting. It's a 14th century Musar Sefer. Most of those Musar works that we might be familiar with, whether Mesilat Yesharim, maybe Chovas HaTalmidim, or Ravobi that we spent many years learning, all of those were, you know, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s. This has been around for a very long time. This is a Rishon. This was a contemporary of some of the Rishonim that we're hearing about, reading about. People, you know, I lived in and around the time of the Sforno, a little bit after like the Ramban and the Rambam, but and frequently quotes the Rambam. But the notion of someone who's systematizing and working on developing personality traits existed even back then. And so this Sefer is also interesting. It's also exciting because we don't know the author. The author never identifies himself. There's actually a suggestion among scholars that the reason why the author wasn't identified was because it was not the author was not male, and that she might have been female, which is always fun and exciting to think about. And so when we're learning the Sefer, we don't know, so we're not going to be able to say, oh, this is, you know, written by Rabbi so-and-so or Rabbitson so-and-so, but this Sefer still exists. It's still prevalent and significant. Feldheim sought to translate it in their Torah Classics Library. And this Sefer has sort of led me through this past year because when colleges weren't functioning the way that they ordinarily would, Mrs. Emma Katz wanted to create a learning program for college women. And so she started the program, but she's got, thank God, a lot on her plate. And so on Sunday nights for the past year, I was learning one or two chapters from Orchos Tzadikim with the college women every week. And so what we're going to do today is really get a look at what is the Sefer, what's the Sefer about, and some of the big lessons that at least I took away from that Sefer. That's what we're going to try and do in the next few minutes. But before we get into the specifics of it, that the Sefer is, you know, originally from the 1400s, and the author is probably German, although maybe French, and maybe may have been a woman, and primarily that it's probably called Sefer Hamidos, not the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim. What's this whole idea of learning Musar in the first place? Why do we learn Musar in the first place? And for that, we look at a Gemara in Masechta Yoma. And the Gemara in Yoma, I didn't send it out, but it's pretty critical. It's really just focusing on Yoma Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. And it's a Gemara that speaks very closely to my heart. And the Gemara is trying to understand, what do we mean when we say Shema every day? Every single day, twice a day, we say, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean to love Hashem? What does it mean to love God? And the Gemara tells us, She'yehe Shem Shemayim Mis'ahev Al Yadecha, that the name of God, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be beloved because of you. What does that look like? What does that mean? That you should learn Torah, you should teach Torah, you should spend time with wise people. And your interactions with other people should be benachas, it should be pleasant, it should be nice. So if you were like that kind of person, then what would people say about you? How would people react? They would say, Ashre Aviv, Shalom Do Torah. Praiseworthy is his father or his mother who taught her Torah. Ashre Rabo, Shalom Do Torah. Praiseworthy are her teachers who taught her Torah. Oy lahem lebrio, Shalom Lamdo Torah. Nebuch, that there are people in the world who haven't been exposed to the beauty of this Torah. Ploni Shalomdo Torah Aray Kama Nine Durakov, and this individual who's learned Torah, look at how wonderful she is. Kama Musukanim Masev, and how wonderful are her actions. I love a Kasuv Omer. And so the Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk in Yeshaya, it's one of my favorite Psukim. By Yomer Li Avdi, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu says about you, my servant Israel, Ata Yisrael, Asher Becha Espire. Through you, I am glorified. That's really the thought process that someone who learns Musar is going in with. Not, I'm bad, I'm flawed, I need to fix myself. That's one approach. That's not the way that we approach Musar today. The way we think about Musar today is, I want to be extraordinary. I want God to be glorified through me. I want every interaction that I have to be a walking example of what a Ben or Bas Torah looks like. That's the idea of learning Musar. That's where we want to be. That's how we want to act. And that's the idea behind Orcha Tzadikim. Because Orcha Tzadikim takes an interesting kind of approach. It's almost like a systematized, near encyclopedic approach to 28 different midot. And it'll look at the midah and say, where does this come out? How does this play out? What does it look like? And we'll just list off a bunch of different instances where you need to think about, where does ego fit in? Where does love or hate fit into my life? And how does that manifest? And how should I react in that regard? And that's what the Orcha Tzadikim is doing. It's looking at every possible moment that could come up in my life and how this midah might manifest and how to do it in the best way possible. And Rav Volbe, whom we've learned from on many occasions, says the reason why we learn Musar is so that we can know how to act in each and every situation. That every moment of my life, I might know how to act when I'm in shul. I might know how to act when I'm in the kitchen. But I might not know how to act when I'm in a business meeting. I might not know how to act when I'm waiting online for coffee. And learning Musar is going to really reach things that we could maybe say are extra halakhic, that are part of a Torah way of life, that are guided by a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, but are not going to be found in the books of our Shulchan Aruch. That's the idea why we learn Musar. And there's a beautiful story I heard from Rabbi Meir Simcha Stroma about Rabbi Moshe Tversky. Rabbi Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yukom Damo, Zichron Tzadik Livracha, was the grandson of Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik and the brother of Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University. And without too many details about him, his brother looked up to him tremendously, and anyone who Rabbi Meir Tversky looks up to must be extraordinary, because Rabbi Meir Tversky is like a walking Sefer Torah. And the book that Archgold put out about him, or maybe a Feldheim, whatever, is called A Malach in Our Midst, An Angel in Our Midst. Rabbi Moshe Tversky was a unique kind of Torah personality that was entirely immersed, entirely enveloped, and entirely representative of a Torah personality, of a Torah life. And so in one particular story about him that I happen to have liked, the other thing that isn't really about him, but unfortunately we have to mention about him, is that it's Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yukom Damo, when the shul in Har Nof was shot up a number of years ago. Rav Moshe Tversky was one of those, of the people davening inside, and whom we lost, and we lost many souls that day. This particular individual who we lost was a really hit on Am Yisrael, because he was contributing a tremendous amount to the Jewish people and to the world of Torah. And so in the book they wrote about him, they tell a story. Rabbi Stromer shared this with me, that Rabbi Moshe Tversky would go on very long walks on Shabbos. There was a certain Shalosh Shodes he wanted to go to, and so he would walk sometimes, it was about an hour. He would walk an hour there, an hour back, and there was a little bit of a time thing. He wanted like our Super Rabbeinu Tam situation, and to end Shabbos very late, and to David Mara very late, but he used to spend an hour walking by himself. And so so his students said, Rabbi, what are you doing in that walk? It's an hour of walking. I know like you might want to daven in a certain time, but that seems like an hour of Bittul Torah. He says, it's not Bittul Torah. That's the time I spend thinking. It's the time I spend reflecting. And so this came to fruition one year, because Rabbi Moshe Tversky, in his maximalist halakhic lifestyle, used to bake matzos on Erev Pesach. That's the most ideal time to make your matzos. I don't expect any of us to do that. I definitely don't envision doing that on a consistent basis. But Rav Moshe Tversky set up his year, so that he could bake matzos on Erev Pesach. And they were done in the best, most refined, most mehudar, lechachilo way possible. And you only get a few matzos. And so, we're all familiar with what happens when you have your handmade shmur matzos. You open up the box right before the Seder, and there are four matzos in there, or three matzos, or five matzos. And you're like, I need three full ones. And so if I spent $42 on my box of matzos and I don't have three full ones, I'm annoyed. Rabbi Moshe Tversky sets up like the whole year. They spend the whole year planning this. He's like not such a logistic guy. He spends his life in Torah, but he spent time planning this because this is so important to him to have his special Erev Pesach matzos. And he opens up the box, and he doesn't have three full matzos. They're all cracked. And his kids are like, oh no, Abba's going to be so upset. He's going to be not angry, but he's going to be down. He's going to be downtrodden. He's going to be super let down because he puts in so much effort to have these beautiful matzos. It's not going to work out. Looks at the box. Looks up, he smiles, and says, all right, I think we need to find new matzos. And the whole night, they were expecting, like, you know, Achilles Matzah comes along, and, like, he's, like, a little down. At no point in time does he ever look sourly at the matzos that he has, and his children want to understand, why? Like, how did you get to that point where you're totally not fazed by this experience? And Moshe Tversky says, I spend an hour every Shabbos walking from my home to this special Shalosh Shuddos, to this special Ma'ariv Minyan. And what do you think I do on that hour? I'm thinking about every instance, every time something difficult or challenging could come up in my life, and think about what is the best way? How do I want to react to that situation? And so I've thought about this. I spent a lot of time thinking about, what if my matzos don't come out perfectly? How do I want to react? And Moshe Tversky thought through every one of his midos, one of the ways that he interacts in the world. What's the best possible way for me to do that? And that's what we're doing a little bit, which we're going to get a hint of today. That's what the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim is all about finding the maximalist, best way to operate in this world. And so when we look at the Sefer, we're not going to obviously go through the whole Sefer. It's 28 chapters of various midos. But the way that we used to learn it in Neely, thank God, we finished recently. We had an ICM with Rabbi Timpanina Bernstein from Stern. And we used to look at two chapters at a time, because the way the Sefer is set up, it's set up in a spectrum, because we understand that midos are a spectrum. A mida, if I wanted to open up a chazal on character traits, I might find Pirkei Avos, and that would be the right answer, but I might also find a Sefer called Sefer Hamidos, and it comes right after Maseches Tamid. But Maseches Hamidos is not about being a nice person. Maseches Midos is the measurements of the Beis Hamikdash, the measurements of how tall the steps were and you know how wide the Azara was. That's not going to help me, because a Mida literally means a measurement. We might be familiar with this. And the way the Rambam explains, and he's really sort of starts off this thought process, a Mida exists on a spectrum. You're not going to have any Mida that is entirely good. You're not going to have any Mida that's entirely bad. And now let's take a look at our sources, if you're so inclined. We're just looking at the Rambams in the first parak of Hilchos Deos, which is in the beginning of his Mishnah Torah, where he talks about the various deos, the various thought processes, effectively the various midos that a person should have. And so I sent in the Safari link. We're skipping the first halacha, but the second halacha gets into the Rambam's approach to Hilchos Deos, which really guides this sefer. And he says, Yesh bein kol deya v'deya harachok mimena beketzah ha'achad deos bein onis zurachok mizu. You've got midos that span all tendencies on one end and on the other hand, and everyone is distinct from one another. But kol adeos yesh behen deos shehen la'adam mitchila b'riyaso lefi tivo gufo. Everyone's got sort of their innate, their natural midos that they were born with. That's very much the nature part of the equation. Vish behem deos shetivo shaladam zem mechuvan v'asi lekabelosam b'mehira yosu mishara deos. And maybe you'll have certain deos, certain midos that you'll be able to latch onto quicker. You have to work on it. You have to develop it. But it's not so hard for you. And sometimes you need a nurturing. You need to develop the Mida. It's not natural. It goes against your natural tendencies, but you still need to develop that Mida, that character trait. And you're going to learn it from other people. Or there's a certain character trait that's not so positive that you want to remove from yourself. That's got to be deliberate. It isn't going to happen on its own. You know, when babies are born, they are selfish. They're not so considerate of, you know, it's 3 a.m, maybe I shouldn't start crying now, and my parents probably should sleep. They just go ahead and cry. When they want food, they want food. And there's no thought process of being benevolent. There's no thought process of being thoughtful, but that develops. And that might not be such a problem for us at a certain point. It will develop over time. Part of maturity is developing certain midos, but some might just not happen. And we need to develop them on our own. We need to develop them as we go along and throughout our lives. And so that's the second halakha, and now we're just going to look at two more. So The Rambam explains, Shtei Ketzosos HaRochokos Zumizu B'chol Dei V'Deia Einan Derek Tova V'Ein Derek Lo La'adam L'Alechas B'hem V'Lo La'adam L'Atzma. When we have this spectrum, these two extremes, that's actually not the way that you're supposed to act. You're not supposed to be very extremely this or very extremely that. You're not supposed to, you know, the example from the Orchis Tzadikim you can use is that of Gaiva and Anava, of ego and humility. You're not supposed to be extremely egotistical. You're also not supposed to be exceedingly humble, although that might be somewhat of an exception. V'matzativo notel achas mehem o mukhan la'achas mehen o shekvar lamad achas mehem v'nag behem yakser atzma l'mutav v'yelich b'derek ha'tobim v'hi ha'derek ha'yishara. If you find yourself on one of the extremes, you're overly loving, overly hating, overly egotistical, overly humble, overly generous, or overly stingy, then you want to find the middle path. You want to find what we call, colloquially, the Shvil HaZahav, the golden mean. That is the, that's sort of the Rambam's famous thing. People get into this all the time. The Rambam is a very balanced individual. But what does it mean to be a balanced individual? What does it mean to try and find that middle path that I should be, I should figure out what is the extreme of humility, what's the extreme of ego, and then be somewhere right in the middle? No, that's not what it means. Let's look at the next halakha, and then we can really understand what the Rambam is talking about based on something I learned from Rabbi Menachem Rosenbaum and the name of his Rabbi, Rabbi Moshe Stav. HaDerek HaYishara Hi Mida Beinonis Shebechol Deya V'Deya Mikol HaDeyos Yesh Lo L'Adam. The middle path is the disposition found in all our human tendencies. V'Hi HaDeya Shehi Rechoka Mishteyak Tzosos Rikuk Shava V'Einan Krova Lo L'Zu V'Lo L'Zu. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that you should see both extremes and then find the middle path. Just be very much even, be the average, be 50%. L'fichak Tzivu Chacham HaRishonim Shehi Adam Sam Deosav Tamin Mishara So Muchavin Oso B'Derachayim Tzaris K'dei Shehi Shalom Begufo. And so Chazal said you should spend time thinking about your character traits. Ketza, what does that look like? How should I work on my midos? Lo yehei baal chema noach lichos v'lo kemeis she'enu margish ela beinoni. You shouldn't be overly excitable. You shouldn't get angry too often. And you also shouldn't be like, you know, basically like a dead person who doesn't feel anything. V'lo yichus ela al davar gadol she'rayu lichos alav k'dei she'lo yase kayotze bo pa'am acheres. And you should only get very angry, very worked up about one thing at an appropriate time so that it shouldn't happen in every situation. And you should only desire to eat certain things that your body needs, and you can't do without. And only work enough that you need. And goes through a whole list. And just at this very, very bottom. So the derek zo he derek hachamim. Kol adam shedeosav deos benonis memutzos nikra chacham. And so anyone who has these average tendencies, the way our translation on Sefaria says, these mean tendencies of the middle course, that person's called wise. But, says Rabbi Rosenbaum, says Rav Moshe Stav, that is totally incorrect. And I think if we spent time learning through the Sefer, we'd understand that that's not accurate. It's not that you're trying to develop yourself into an average person who's just not spanning the extremes. We know a lot of people, a lot of very holy people, who get very excited and very into some things, who get very angry about some things, or who are more loving and patient than any normal person should be. And so if that's the case, then are they not fulfilling the command of the Rambam? Explains Moshe Stav that the reason why we're supposed to sort of expand the spectrum is so that we can understand what the Midah is, so we can learn the Midah. And so I'm going to experience what humility looks like at the most extreme, and then I'm going to be able to dial it back. And I'm going to understand what ego looks like at the most extreme, and I'm going to be able to dial it back. And when I've experienced the entirety of the Midah, when I've experienced the entirety of the spectrum of human condition, then I can figure out what's the appropriate way to act. If I've never been angry, I can't really speak, and I can't really think about when I should be angry, when I shouldn't be angry. If like I can't imagine myself getting angry, I'm not going to be able to be like Rav Moshe Tversky and think about how do I want to act in this situation? How might I react if I was in this situation? If my kids are being particularly difficult and annoying, am I going to get angry? If I'm overly tired, am I going to be a little bit shorter with people? If I plan out a whole day and it all gets ruined because it's raining, is that going to ruin the rest of my day, or am I going to find a way to get around that? I want to develop that midah. If I'm overly loving with some people and I know that not everyone can handle it, this actually happened to me on a summer program. You know, when you go on these NCSY summer programs, you're doing like 19, 20-hour days. And I had one friend who I would see along the trip, and I was always so excited to see him. And at the middle of the trip, he's like, Ari, I like you so much. I'm so excited to see you, but I'm so tired. I give all my energy to the programs, to the teens. So, and that's like when I like go big. And when you come over and you're like so excited to see me, I can't handle it. I want to see you. I want to talk to you, but I need you to like take it down a notch. So it's definitely not the first and probably not the last time someone's going to tell me that I'm a little bit too intense. And okay, but that's part of the development of a personality to want to give your all, to give the appropriate and right amount. You know, when you're sitting in a cheer and you're getting excited by it, that's great. But if there were 9 people sitting in a cheer and they're all jumping up and down and wanting to share ideas, that it's not going to work. You got to find the right balance, the right mida for each and every one of our life situations. And that's the idea of the sefer. We would often look at the spectra of midos and figure out, where does this fit in, where does it not fit in? Maybe one of the most important takeaways from that experience is to appreciate, and this is pervasive throughout Sefer Orchos Tzaddikim, is that there is absolutely no such thing as a bad midah. Someone being angry is not a bad midah. You want to curb your anger a lot. Anger is only appropriate in some instances, but there is without question an appropriate time to be angry. And if that anger is going to motivate you to do something good, if that anger is going to enable you to create something positive, to show that that anger reaction is going to make an impact on the person opposite you, that could be very important. That could be necessary. And if you never ever show that kind of anger, you're actually lacking in your midos. You're lacking in your interactions in the world. And the same goes for so many different midos. When it comes to jealousy, of course, we're not supposed to be jealous. And when we look at other people's Zoom backgrounds, we don't need to think either, oh my gosh, I can't believe her house is so clean, or I can't believe that she has so many svarim, I'm so jealous. But we do want to be jealous when we find out how much people are able to learn, how well people are able to daven. The various, you know, kines tofim tarbach chachmam, when people are jealous of scholars, it increases the amount of knowledge in the world. We want that. We want people who are jealous of other people's spiritual accomplishments. We see with Rachel and Menu, and Rachel has her first son. So many years without children, so many years of being barren and davening to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and crying and feeling bad that her sister has children and her maidservant has children and she doesn't. And then she names her son, and what does she name him? Yosef Li Ben Acher. I want another one. What do you mean you want another one? You can be happy for a moment. You've been davening your whole life to have this child, and you just had him, and then you name him, I want more? Because I'll say, if it was about food, if Rachel just really, really wanted a cup of water, and she said, oh, I want another one immediately, that would be ungrateful. That would be problematic. But to want more children for spiritual reasons, to want to be able to increase her spiritual stock in Bnei Israel, that's totally appropriate. It's totally fair. And so we keep the name, Yosef Li Ben Acher. Her second son, she names Ben-Oni, and we change the name to Ben-Yamin because that name didn't fit. It wasn't appropriate for forever. But anyone who has the name Yosef is an indication, is a suggestion that I'm always looking for more. And that's another theme that we see in the Orchos Tzaddikim of always wanting more, of wanting to be the best possible, even if, and figuring out how that mida fits in. And so I'm going to be jealous sometimes. I'm going to be hateful sometimes. I'm going to be angry sometimes when it's appropriate, but the majority of my life, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to be loving, and Orchos Tzaddikim sort of spans all those ideas. There's one thing that really stood out to me that in, I think, every single chapter, the idea of tochacha, of rebuke. And when describing each and every one of the midos, our author always points out why if you don't manage this mida well, then it might impinge upon your capacity to give tochacha, to give rebuke, seemingly indicating that giving rebuke is the most important capacity that we have as people. That we want to be able to rebuke, to give feedback in sort of the colloquial sense. I want to be able to give feedback to my friend, to someone else. If I'm overly angry, then when I give feedback to someone, they're just going to assume that I'm taking my anger out on them. If I am too loving that I don't give feedback to my friends and my family, then that's a lacking in my love. And so the Orchos Tzaddikim is begging us that part and parcel of each and every one of our relationships should be that I'm going to share with you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to tell you how you're doing well, but also how you can do better, how you can be better. And I imagine that Gail has probably lots of Torah on how to give effective feedback, you know, in team settings. And so we can explore with her at another time. But that notion of developing myself, not just because I want to be good, but because I can have a better impact on the world. If I'm good, I can give tochach, I can give guidance to people if they're willing to listen to me. If I embody that message from Maseches Yoma, that I share bracha as par, that God is glorified through me, then people want to listen to me. Then people are interested in what I have to say. And the final thought that the Sefer opens and leaves us with is that of Yiras Shamayim. In general, in Musar Sfarim, you can pay attention to the sort of the ideals and the values based on how the chapters are set up. And so if you look at certain Mussar Sfarim, then Yir HaShemayim is at the very, very end of the Sefer. For some, it's at the very beginning of the Sefer. And when we think about the role HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays in our actions, is that sort of the starting point? Or once you've developed yourself enough, then you can conclude with thoughts of godliness. The way the Orchus Tzadikim, he kind of cheats, and he does both. In the very, very beginning, or she, at the very beginning, says, Sof Devar Kol Nishma. At the very beginning, you got to remember that Es Elokim Yarei Kizeh Kol HaAdam, the Sefer, the Pasuk from Kohelas that Shlomo Melech says. Ultimately, you know, you can live your whole life, and the only thing that really matters is Yir HaShemayim, is that of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then ends the Sefer with a whole chapter on Yir HaShem, on Yir HaShemayim. And that notion of each and every one of my midos, it's not just that I want to be great, but it's that I want to be the best version of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. That's really what we're aiming for. That's what we're going for. And that's all the time that we have this morning. It's been a pleasure learning together. And Mitzvah Hashem, we can do so again in the future. I highly encourage checking out Orchos Tzadikim. We have Shirim online, and there are much better Shirim available online as well. You don't have to listen to our Shirim. But it's been a pleasure developing midos throughout the year. And I highly encourage everyone, you know, take some time over the summer, even just to spend a little bit of time like Rabbi Moshe Twersky, to think about the midos that we're developing. It's invaluable.
All right.